everybody. This is Megan Fowler with the Oilers Rig, and I'm here with Avery McDougall and Alex Thomas. We're recording on a Tuesday night before the Oilers play the Flames for an exhibition game before the qualifiers. I don't really understand what's going on. And we just thought it'd be kind of fun to have a little hockey chat because it has been a long while since we've really had anything fun to talk about. So I will pass this over maybe to Avery. He can tell us a little bit about himself, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, for those of you who do not know, I've been contributing to the Rig now for about 4 or 5 years. I host a couple of podcasts, Avery Sports Show, the Brad and Avery Hour, and also, some way, somehow, I'm a correspondent for a TV show on Sky Sports called Inside Super League. So that's my little spiel right there for you.
And Sky Sports is where, Avery?
London, England. It's over in England where I do that show on. Yes, the All Brits right. can watch me on their TVs and yell at me.
So just like we were doing 5 minutes ago, watching our computers and yelling at you.
Exactly, cool. Just like it.
And Alex, what about you?
I've been around with the Oilers Rig for it's actually over 7 years now. Started in June of 2013. How's that to make you feel old? Also, we're doing a lot of work with junior hockey down here in the States and some women's college hockey as well. Obviously, everything's on pause right now, but... it's going to be nice to have some actual hockey to watch. Like, I voluntarily watched the first period of a Leafs game tonight. So, that's kind of where we're at after 139 some odd days here without real hockey to watch.
I also planned on watching the first period of that game, and then the Leafs scored within, like, 35 seconds. And I was like, well, never mind this. And I gave up. I've been writing with the Rig, I think, for about 4.5 years, 5 years. I don't really know. It's been a while. I say writing pretty loosely because it's been months since I've written anything, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try and get back into it a little bit. I teach high school here in Edmonton and kind of have a love-hate relationship with the team. And we'll just leave it at that.
Don't we all
so
know.
First,
yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's true. It's true. Yeah, there comes a point, I think, when you've been an Oilers fan for a really long time that you just have to embrace the suck and just know it's going to be terrible at some point. So my first question, I think, that maybe we could address is, how does it feel to, like, have hockey and stuff going on again?
You know, it feels good it's back, but looking at things how it's almost 100 degrees in Edmonton and realizing that, oh, it's July and we're entering not even round one, but pre-round one now, it feels kind of odd in the sense that we're entering the first year in which a best-of-five format is being used for the first time in about 30 years. It feels weird in a sense, but also feels kind of fresh because you've got 12 teams each conference now in the shorter system. It's more wide open now each conference to determine who can win the cup this year than other years prior.
I mean, I'm thankful for it because that means I have to watch less of this mess of a pitching rotation that the Red Sox have this summer, so that's a plus. But
yeah, I feel really sorry for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Your poor baseball team is so bad.
It's better than playing in Buffalo, I guess, but I got to be careful when I say that because
hey,
the last time I mentioned...
watch your mouth.
Well, the last time I mentioned Buffalo, I had like a million angry DMs on at a grocery store on a Friday afternoon, so I got to be careful with what I say there. But honestly, it's exciting. I mean, first of all, how often have we been able to watch Oilers playoff hockey? Literally one other time in the last 14 years, so that's exciting.
Yep.
Plus, I feel like this team, all kidding aside... All kidding aside, though, this team in the second half of the season actually gave us reason to be somewhat excited. They found two scoring lines. There was some chemistry there, and the underlying numbers were actually good. You almost get the feeling like maybe this is the team actually finding its way and actually taking those steps forward as opposed to the false start that 2017 ended up being in the end. So I think it's exciting, and honestly, who wouldn't want to see two of the more high-powered teams in the league go head-to-head in what's going to be sloppy hockey and pretty much can guarantee you 6-7 goals a game, depending on who's starting in goal. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And again, 12 p.m. is the first start on the East Coast. The last start is 10:30. I mean, you can't script that better for the next week.
No, that part is really cool. Like, I was thinking about it in terms of, like, how I watch football on Sundays. And, like, I'll just watch football all day long. And when there's a game, like, in London or whatever, and it's at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, yeah, cool, I'm just going to watch more football today. So to me, having hockey all day long to watch for the first little while, I think is going to be pretty fun. But it is, I'm with Avery, I think it's a little weird. Like, it's July, it's super hot out here, and, like, it's just, it's bizarre. Because usually when we see hockey players, like, wandering around in, like, shorts and whatever, it's like they're at their cottages, you know, in Muskoka. Or it's coming into training camp, not, you know, coming into the playoffs in July. And, like, the fact that it's here in Edmonton is kind of weird as well, because I was downtown today, and I, like, went to turn down 104th Ave, and I was like, nope, that seems like a terrible idea, because I can't get where I need to go, so I had to, like, take a big old detour. And so I was aggravated by it before being excited by it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
No, of course. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Megan, because I was down a few years ago, and you're seeing how that whole downtown core has been basically just blocked off. Because the city and NHL knows that you can't just let these guys wander around and let the public have access to 12 NHL teams for 2 months. They know it's impossible. It is funny to see it happening. But you know what, though? Seeing the Oilers back in this playoff series, seeing how Connor played, seeing how Draisaitl went next level, it's a series in which if Chicago wants to play a track meet against Edmonton, this is going to be 7-1 after Game 1. It's going to be ugly for the Blackhawks in Game 1 if they want to play a track meet style.
So, it's funny that you say that about you can't let fans have access to the teams, because Avery and I have a friend who will remain nameless to protect her job and all of the things that go with that, but she would absolutely be downtown, like, hanging out by the rink if she... any possible moment, just to catch a glimpse of, like, Draisaitl, Klefbom, maybe, whatever. And so it's true. Like, and it was funny, because I saw the fences, and they're all, like, they're not just chain-link fences, right? Like, you can't see through them. So it is very much, they're in isolation, essentially. And it's just kind of weird. It's just, like, a weird feeling. But whatever, it's hockey. It's July. It's great.
Yeah, no.
So, oh, go ahead.
I was going to mention, though, it's kind of funny how they have the bubbles there, because there's all those kind of jokes about what if we see a player down at a random bar on Jasper Avenue and they force the series to be forfeited because they just wanted to go out and have a good time and they're caught on a random bar on a Friday night. It would have been hilarious.
To be fair, if one of those guys has to go to a random bar on Jasper Ave, he needs to, like, raise the bar a little bit for where he's going to go, because none of those places are good. So there's that.
I mean, you could at least call Lou Williams your wings. I mean, you might as well go all in if you're going to leave the bubble.
Little Magic City Adventures, eh, Alex?
Oh, boy. Okay,
hey,
so
listen,
there.
If you're
going to
do it, go all in.
Here's a good segue then into my next thought. Do you think that the bubble thing is going to work? Are we going to make it to October without having to postpone anything because of an outbreak?
I think so. I mean, It's when we talk about hockey culture all the time and all the negative connotation that comes with that, and in a lot of cases, rightfully so. But I mean, some of the conversation when this was all discussed was that players were going to feel pressure to play and not opt out because of what people are going to think about them and if that could be used against them come time to negotiate a contract. So, you know, I think these guys are going to be scared to mess up because they know they're, you know, if they mess up, they're going to be on the outside looking in with their teammates, and it's going to be tough to find a job, whether that's right or wrong. I think that's going to end up being a good thing, I guess, for the NHL, where these guys just aren't going to do it. And I feel like, you know, a number of these NHL guys are big into video games now, and, you know, whatever league it is, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, a lot of these older guys with families and such know that this is a business trip, And I think the old NFL saying is don't mess with another man's money. They're not going to go out and risk that for other people. So I think any bubble situation, whether it's the NHL, the NBA, you know, the MLS made it work, lacrosse has made it work, the NWSL's made it work. Like, I think these bubble situations are the only way this is going to work. And I think once these guys are in there, it's going to be fine.
No, of course, yeah. It really is going to be that whole, you know, if you got out, because the NHL has said, the league has straight up said, if you're caught messing around outside the bubble without an excuse, you're on the next plane home. You're out of here. There's one strike and you're done. There's no forgiveness. There's no grace if you're out without a proper reason. That's going to hurt a lot of guys. Like, that's going to stick on guys, that one strike and you're done rule. I think guys will had over their heads if they do want to escape. And sure, maybe someone might get sick, or there might be a reason why they have to leave with permission. But the whole getting out there all for all seriousness, I don't see it happen. I don't see a guy jeopardizing their chance to win a cup or go further by seeking out for any reason.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, like, and I think Alex hit it on the head with the hockey culture question, like, hockey's one of those, we talk about it all the time when we criticize it a lot for that, like, sort of, they close ranks around and whatever, but I think in this case, I think it might actually work in favor.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be the guy who shuts the season down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that that's really important.
I mean, look at the Pastrnak situation in Boston where... You know, nobody's come out publicly and given him the gears, but you listen to Cam Neely talk, you listen to Bruce Cassidy talk, and, you know, when they say things like, yeah, guys like Charlie McAvoy are missing practice through no fault of their own, and you can kind of tell if you read between the lines and listen to the tone, the disappointment that's there. And I just think that, you know, that's really the only case we saw. Again, other things could have happened, but that's the only case we really saw of guys disobeying the quarantine rules in phase three. And I think the test results from phase three kind of prove that guys aren't going to do that. And I think you saw the fallout from the Pastrnak situation. And I just don't think guys want to deal with that.
No, exactly. So we saw you too. Jake Virtanen. He was at a bar with some friends in Vancouver. And we saw the outrage of what happened when that got on Twitter and social media. And people were saying, you know, oh, but the bars are open. He should have known better. I mean, yes, the bars are open. But at the same time, these guys were told by the league to limit your interactions at pubs and restaurants as much as possible in the meantime before you came to Edmonton.
And especially that's the case when this isn't, it's not about yourself anymore. Now you're going into a situation where, you know, if you act irresponsible or reckless, that could get other guys sick, and it could get other guys' families sick. And, you know, I think when you're going to be in close quarters with other people, you, whether you like it or not, you take on a responsibility where, you know, you have 20-some-odd other guys that are relying on you to do the right thing, you know? I mean, I'll use the Pastrnak example. He could go out and go to a bar and whatever, and if he comes back and maybe he is asymptomatic, but let's say Patrice Bergeron or somebody like that gets it, brings it home, a family member gets sick, and that's the kind of chain reaction that you're looking at. So I think these guys are held across sports to a higher standard when it comes to that.
Exactly.
So the NHL managed to sort of figure things out, and I was saying to Alex before I hit record here that, like, it's shocking to me that of the leagues that are operating right now, some of the big four, I guess, that the NHL has managed to not screw things up just yet? Question mark? Like, you know what I mean? I feel it's actually kind of surprising to me that of the three out of the four that are actually running right now, the NHL is the one that hasn't screwed things up to the point where we're criticizing them like we could with, like, you know, baseball or whatever. I just find that really fascinating.
I agree, because I think even back in March when every sport shut down, I don't think people really had the NHL as picked to be the one where they have one of the best situations. I think the consensus was MLB's coming back first, then NBA, then maybe NFL, the NHL last, if ever. They've had the most stable situation. I think that surprised a lot of people. So I do have to give them a lot of credit for having their ducks in a row and making this work to the point we got games again on TV today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other thing that is interesting, too, is that we all know the TV thing, I think you hit it right on the head. We all know that the reason this is happening is because of that deal that the NHL has with, like, Fox Sports Regional.
Yes.
And they didn't want to pay $500 million. Like, I get it. And so, we can't pretend that there's not, you know, the financial question involved in this. But I think also, I think the summertime, playing hockey in the summer, because in the wintertime, you're competing against basketball, you're competing against baseball at the beginning of the season, you're competing against football all the way through till February. And then basketball kind of exists in there. There's college football. There's all this other stuff. And I think having summertime hockey in the States is actually kind of an interesting thing, because you don't normally get that. And I wonder what that'll do for some of that, like, viewership and whatnot, you know, to have exposure at a time when you wouldn't normally have it.
And you're also looking at a league that's trying to negotiate a new television contract. And, you know, again, they're the only league, major league in North America, that doesn't have a dual contract. I mean, you look at the NFL, they have what, CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN. You know, the NBA has ESPN, ABC, and TNT, mm-hmm. and baseball's got all theirs. The NHL is just on NBC. And I don't think that's going to remain. I think other networks, you know, ESPN's been in there. TBS has been thrown around a lot down here as well. It's kind of a dark horse, but I mean, they need to put on a show to secure that money, especially with Seattle coming into the league. Like, this is a real opportunity for the NHL to grow in the United States. And the situation sucks. Nobody's going to deny that. But there's a real chance here for the league to play and make this happen, where I think they have to have their heads screwed on correctly in order to make that money with the new TV deal, in order to ensure that Seattle is going to be a success. And, hey, maybe you pick up more fans in those markets like, you know, Carolina, which was picking up momentum after last season. And, I mean, I don't know about Arizona right now with all that going on. But, you know, pick up more fans in those markets right now. You might be able to do that with this March Madness-style schedule.
No, of course. And you mentioned, I know on the schedule, that's the one thing is that even for new fans, a best of five format gets them into the game immediately. Like they can learn, they can see a quick series, be it say Edmonton, Chicago, or Florida and New York. If those series only go three or four, they can learn those pretty quickly. Because I think sometimes if you're new, you only understand seven game series length. But I think it's kind of cool, and also the round robin series. I think that's kind of cool. They're having it's just me, but I don't mind the fact that they're gonna have the round robin be a regular season rules. And this one be a playoff. I think it's going to be kind of cool to see two different styles, see if it's going to mesh, just for storyline purposes.
And not only for that, too, but could you imagine having that round-robin game? You got Bruins Flyers going, like, four overtimes on Sunday. I think they did it right with that. Like, yeah. I mean, again, these games obviously mean something. But for those teams, that's really a huge advantage to play three games that, you know, you get seated where you get seated. Exactly. I'm not even sure at the end of the day what the hell the difference is between one and four. Like,
not really that much.
I mean, you're not playing at home.
Right? And this is the first postseason where no team has any home ice advantage. Like, there's no advantage. You've got...
No, not at all.
Yeah, you've got 24 teams, and two kind of sort of have an advantage, but the league has said, no, you can't have an advantage. It's kind of weird in a sense.
Well, I think we were talking about this before too. I think the idea of like home ice advantage, as soon as you don't have fans in the building, I don't think it matters anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, even if the Oilers, let's say, could use their dressing room or whatever, I honestly don't think that there's any advantage to playing in your own rink if you don't have the benefit of having your fans in the building.
Right.
So I think like watching baseball for like the 3 days that we got it, you know, with no fans. Actually, to be honest, like, the Nationals, whoever their sound guy was, it was, like, piping crowd noise in, was phenomenal. It was so good. They had recorded so much, like, great crowd noise. It was amazing. But watching with no fans, to me, was fine. Like, I didn't find it weird or anything. But it's really interesting watching a sport where you can hear the players, like, communicating with each other.
Yeah.
It's the same. I've been watching some, like, Bundesliga stuff and whatever, same deal. And you can hear the players, like, on the pitch yelling at each other. Right, which I think is kind of cool, where you don't normally get that because you've got all the other stuff going on. But if you don't have fans in the building, I truly don't think it matters where you play. Like, they could have all played in, I don't know, Saskatoon, and it would have been ultimately the same thing because nobody has that advantage of the home ice or whatever.
No,
I mean, 3 months ago we thought we were going to North Dakota for this. So,
right.
it's like, I don't know. I think home ice is honestly overrated anyways. Like, outside of the fans, what's the real advantage? Sure, you get last change, but you can fix that within literally, like, 6 seconds. So, I mean, for me, it's not a huge thing having home ice. So, I really don't think, and in just watching what the NHL's done with the lower bowl, it doesn't look weird to me. Because, again, you've got... Think about when you watch a stadium series or a Heritage Classic or a Winter Classic game. There are no fans in the picture anyways.
It's true.
Like, it's almost like one of those games.
You're right, Alex. And Anson Carter mentioned that today on NBC. Anson Carter said, because, like, you know, you're right. The fans are so far away. If you're watching a game at Wrigley Field or the Big House when we've had outdoor games there. But, you know, I thought what was really cool was that just the presentation, the lighting looked a little bit differently. They had the camera angles that was near drone-like, which you can't do when you have fans in the building. You can't do these kind of angles. thought it looked really cool. And it almost looked like a next generation video game, in which how they presented it as like a less lighting, different way to shoot a game. And that could be the future next year. For yes, you're gonna have fans back, but I think they're gonna take a look at things and say, how can we broadcast a game in a style that looks somewhat new for 2020 hockey?
So for like the 4 minutes of the Leafs Canadiens game that I watched today, just because I didn't need to watch more, what I really liked, and I mean obviously it's the beginning of the game and whatever, but what I really liked is that there was no fans like standing up and banging on the glass. Like there's none of that going on. Some rinks are better built for TV than others.
True.
So like a rink like the Bell Center is not great for TV. Just the pitch of that lower bowl, right? And so as soon as people start to stand up, like close to the ice, it gets in the way, right? Whereas now we don't have that. So there's cameras in the stands. There's those different like angles that we would never normally get, which I think are super cool. And I'm kind of excited about seeing what comes from it.
Oh, I think the game's going to look better on TV with this, and I wonder what's going to come from this moving forward. Like, what are they going to pull for when fans come back in the stands? And the other thing that we're not talking about, nobody's really talking about, is the NHL wants to start this thing on December 1.
Right.
Well, are we sure that starting next season, December 1, you're going to have fans in the stands? Because I'm not sold on that. So these are things where... I mean, look, the NBA is considering doing a bubble next season for the whole thing. What if the NHL has to do that? I mean, these are things that you can look at and build on, and you'll maybe even enhance the TV product even further when you look ahead. December's less than 5 months away, so I think it's that far off, so...
Exactly. And I know the league still wants to try and do the Winter Classic in Minnesota, but do you really want to have an outdoor game where you don't have any fans at all? Because one of the big things, you all know that it's a fan experience. Of that week in that city where you're checking it out and the appeal is having, you know, the 75,000 there to watch the game. Do you still want to have that when it's an empty stadium? So that'll be things to ask come this winter.
Oh, I don't think there's... If they have to go empty stadium, I don't see the NHL investing in spending the money on either that or the Stadium Series game in Carolina.
Right.
I think it would end up being like the 2012-13 lockout short year where everything just gets pushed back a year. That would be unfortunate. You know, the Winter Classic is great. I still love it. But, I mean, what's the point of having it if it's going to be... I mean, look, they play enough empty games with Twins games up there. Like, you just don't need to see that.
Wow!
Had to get the shot in on them, eh?
Wow!
Twins actually got a good team, though, so I got
my goodness.
But you know, I'm gonna have to set that up.
Alex, could you tell me what position Mookie Betts plays for the Red Sox?
Oh! He plays Heartbreaker now.
That's cool.
Okay, so... I just want to shift back to hockey here for a second. I honestly just opened this up because I don't actually know which teams are playing who. I know the Oilers are playing the Blackhawks because people keep talking about it, but I legit do not know what's going on. So, starting with the Eastern Conference and these play-in series, let's just do like a really quick rundown of just a really quick prediction. So, starting with the East, number 5 Pittsburgh against number 12 Montreal. Who do we got? How many games?
Ooh. I'm going Pittsburgh, and I will say in 4 games.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say Pens in 4-2. That team is too loaded, but Price will steal one.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think I would say probably Pittsburgh in 4 as well, just because of that. Price will steal one game, exactly. And he'll keep another one pretty close. Carolina, number 6 against the number 11 New York Rangers.
Ooh.
They are 2 points apart. This should be said. They were 2 points apart in the standings here, 81 and 79.
Now, you know what? Now, knowing Alex's feelings towards Carolina 4-0-6, I know Alex is probably going to say Rangers in 3. I don't want you to have any more joy in your life. But I will say, I will go Rangers in 5. I think that'll be a surprisingly tough series for with Carolina. I think that'll be a fun series to watch.
There's definitely an Eastern team I'm gonna root against for joy purposes, and it's not Carolina. I'll keep you waiting on who that would be. But I'm gonna take the Rangers in 5-2, and a big reason is Carolina's defense is so good. But you know, Dougie Hamilton is battling injury again. He just can't seem to stay healthy recently, and you know, Brett Pesce may not play in this series. I think the Rangers have a lot of firepower. They have the goaltending. This is gonna be a sneaky, really entertaining series, but I think the Rangers are going to be that lower seed that finds a way to get it done.
Yep.
I think Carolina's going to win in 4. I don't have any reason for it. I just feel like being a contrarian. All
right.
Number 7, New York Islanders versus the number 10, Florida Panthers. I think the Islanders are going to win, and I think it's going to be in 5. Because, again, these two teams are very close. Islanders are coming in at 80 points, and the Panthers are coming in at 78.
Ooh, I will go in Islanders in 4. I like Florida a lot, but I think New York has enough horses to get past Florida in this series. And seeing Jordan Eberle there, he has been one of the key cogs in their season to playing well. I'd go to Islanders in 4 in that one.
I don't know, there's something about the Islanders. I just don't love that team. Like, you know, they have the goaltending, but I just don't think that team has enough firepower. And Florida has a ton of firepower. That's a really good roster. It's just they didn't get any goaltending.
No,
didn't. With all the sunken money into Bobrovsky, it was like an Enron investment. But you know, if he has a decent series, yeah. I think Florida beats the Islanders. I think they're the better team. So I'm gonna go with Panthers in 5.
All right.
Okay, and last Eastern play-in series, the number 8 Toronto Maple Leafs against the number 9 Columbus Blue Jackets. They are tied going into this at 81 points apiece.
Oh, this is a series in which there's so many storylines, because there's that storyline of what if the Leafs do not get past the first round again? That brick wall is hitting them right there or again with Marner and Matthews. But I just seeing how Columbus has played and seeing the goaltending story of Elvis Merlinkis, I think it's Columbus in 5, because seeing what he's done when Korpisalo went down, I think he's on a run destiny right now. He's on a run in destiny to lead Columbus to a deep postseason run. I'm going to go Columbus in 5 in that series.
All right.
Oh, my, please. That would be terrific. But I got to go with the Leafs here. I don't think Columbus has the firepower. As good as that defense and goaltending is, Toronto's forward group is just too deep, and I think you have to have it at all three levels if you're going to knock out that Toronto team. And it's been a lot of fun watching them lose in the first round of the Bruins. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that's been a great matchup for them in terms of, like, if they were doing the traditional 1-8, I think the Leafs would have a much better chance. I think once this Leafs team gets going, they're just going to bulldoze over Columbus. I haven't won it in 4. I'm not even sure it's going to be that close.
So here's the thing. As we all know, and you guys know especially, I am firmly on Team Chaos at all times. I like the outcome that makes the most people upset, just for fun. And the one that I think I would enjoy the most would be the Leafs getting swept in this play-in, because all of the games are taking place in Toronto. I feel like that would be just bring me so much joy. But I have to agree with Alex. I think they're just too deep to get kicked out of this round. This isn't really the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. There's still a fair game to get kicked out of the next round. But I feel like they're going to make it through Columbus. That's my prediction. I don't know how many games. Let's say 4. I don't know. Sure. Okay, let's move west, because this is where my Team Chaos comes, like, into play big time. So, we're going to start at the bottom of this. Number 8 Calgary Flames versus the number 9 Winnipeg Jets. Calgary is seeded at number 8 because of whatever the NHL's dumb seeding system is, with 79 points, and Winnipeg is seeded at number 9 with 80 points. Yeah. So, there's some fun math for you.
That's about right.
Right? First of all, Winnipeg is nowhere near that low. Winnipeg is much better than this dumb seeding has been. And I will go with them in the sense, because I look at Winnipeg right now, I look at what's happened with Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Patrick Laine, all over 60 points in scoring this year. And then you look at the depth of Nick Ehlers, Neil Pionk, Josh Morrissey, Jack Roslev. That is one of the more sneaky deep teams in all of the NHL. And I'm going to go Winnipeg over Calgary in 3 games.
Ooh, all right. Our first official sweep prediction. All right. That's not just wishful thinking. Alex, what do you think?
I think when you have a goalie that, honestly, I think Connor Hellebuyck has had an MVP case this season for the way he played there, and you look at the firepower that the Jets have, the Flames have questions at goaltending. They have questions all throughout the lineup. I have no idea what the hell was going on with Johnny Gaudreau at training camp. That whole thing just does not make sense to me. Calgary just seems like a weird team right now. They're one of the most interesting teams to me to watch in these playoffs and moving forward through the offseason. I don't think they get by Winnipeg. I think that offensive depth and Hellebuyck is enough, and the Jets win it in four.
Let's not forget that Calgary has our favorite cast-off from the Edmonton Oilers, Milan Lucic, who skates approximately half a mile an hour. So that's going to be super fun. No, I think Winnipeg is probably too deep for Calgary to get by, and I think goaltending plays a big part in it, unless somehow magically Cam Talbot goes on a heater again and like carries the team. Like, you know, we saw it happen here, so who knows?
I think Winnipeg gets the job.
I think so too. I think Winnipeg is probably going to win that series, but I think I'm going to say five games. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as Avery thinks. Okay, Vancouver Canucks number 7 against the number 10, Minnesota Wild. I would like to point out number 8 seed Calgary, 79 points. Number 7 seed Vancouver, 78 points. I do not know. Do not understand. Anyway, carry on. what do we think there?
Ooh, you know what? Vancouver's a team, you know, Vancouver is a team that personally has transformed from the biggest heels in the league to one of the more likable teams with that young core. I want to see that young group in Vancouver do really well. And, you know, I think this is a team that might get it done against Minnesota. Like, looking at what they've done with JT Miller, Elias Pettersson has been one of the best stories in the league. I'm going to go Vancouver taking that in four games, y'all.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I mean, if the Canucks get into a deciding game, we're going to find out really quick if fire can kill coronavirus if they lose a deciding game 5 in Vancouver. I just think as skilled as this Canucks team is, and I like Jacob Markstrom quite a bit. I think he's one of the more underrated goalies in the league. This Minnesota team's weird to me. They were really good when the pause came. For some reason, they just went on a 20-game heater where they looked really good. I think they have a strong enough defense. I think they have just enough up front where I'm going to take them to upset Vancouver in 5 games here. I think the Canucks were aided by great goaltending throughout the season. But remember, Jacob Markstrom missed quite a bit of time in the lead-up to the pause. It's been about, I want to say, 5, close to 6 months since he's played in a game, and that's a lot for a goaltender that, you know, faces a lot of shots and faces a lot of high danger chances on a given night. So I'm going to take Minnesota in 5 in this one. This is going to be a good series.
Okay, I'm going to say... See, this one's a tough one for me because I think, at the end of the day, I think Vancouver's probably the better team, but I think the goaltending is enough of a question mark to make me think that whatever happens, I don't know if I can pick a winner, it's going to go to 5. Like, I feel like that's for sure what's going to happen. It's going to be like a game 5 shootout to decide things. So it's going to rely very much on goaltending, and I'm going to flip a coin and let's say Minnesota in 5. Okay, number 6, Nashville Predators against number 11, Arizona Coyotes. Let me tell you guys, I'm going to go first here because Team Chaos living here. All I have ever wanted is for Taylor Hall to win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton as a member of another team. And we are one step closer to that dream becoming a reality for me. Do I think the Coyotes can beat the Predators? I'm not 100% sure. I would like them to. So if they do, I think it's going to be a 5-game series. And I'm going to take Arizona in 5.
All right, now, as much as I would love to have an Arizona New York Islanders Stanley Cup, because I know hockey Twitter would absolutely melt down and Oilers Twitter would end that instant if those two teams were playing for the Cup in Edmonton. But oh, I don't know. So I just don't know right now if Arizona can get past Nashville in the series. There's been so many question marks. I mean, there's been so much internal strife, be it from the fact that they're going into this postseason run with an interim general manager. Like, what team has ever had their GM quit on them for whatever reason going on? Like, there's going to be something stuff that's going to come out about the whole drama in Glendale. They're going to go with an interim GM. There's so much strife that we know of. But in terms of just on the ice, I just think Nashville right now has huge firepower to lose to Arizona, even with Taylor Hall, and even with Phil Kessel leading the way in Arizona. I'm going to go Nashville in 4 games in that series.
Both of these teams should be better than they are, right? Like, both of these teams on paper should be good. Nashville's offense was terrible this season. Yeah. And you look on paper, it's like, well, that's not right. I mean, you have Forsberg, Arvidsson, they signed Matt Duchene, which, honest to God, I completely forgot about for a long time. He was not good for them. But then again, you look at that Arizona situation. The GM situation looks like Axl Rose quitting on Guns N' Roses in the middle of the 80s. It's just a complete mess down there. But again, for me, it comes down to goaltending. I think Darcy Kuemper is the best goalie in this series. And I think Phil Kessel has been a guy throughout his career, contrary to popular belief, that shows up when it matters in the playoffs. You know, Taylor Hall is a pending free agent on a big stage, and you know that's going to be a motivating factor. Arizona's a deeper team than people give them credit for. I don't necessarily think they're better than Nashville, but something's not right with this Predators team. And I'm going to go with my third lower seed, and I'm going to take Arizona in five. This seems like it's primed for an upset.
All right, and our very last series, and we're going to wrap this up right away here because the Oilers and the Flames are playing in like 4 minutes. Very last series, Edmonton is number 5 seed versus the number 12 seed Chicago Blackhawks. What do we have? Again, Team Chaos, you all know what I think would be funny, but I cannot see it happening. So.
I know. I just think right now Chicago, they're an older team. They've had too much, way too old to keep up with Edmonton. We know there's no Brent Seabrook. We saw the news about Corey Crawford. I guess he's
but isn't Brent Seabrook not playing a good thing, though? Like, if we're really being honest, isn't that actually help their defense?
Yeah, that's a good point.
at this stage, yeah.
They're a team right now. Like, they're just out of gas. I don't see them stopping McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, even the second, third line. I think they have their way with them. I just think this is going to be Edmonton in three. If Chicago wants to attract me, this is going to be, like Alex would say, bet the over in every game of Edmonton-Chicago if this game goes to attract me. Edmonton in three.
Okay. Alex, what do you think?
Oh, I would love for it to be in three, but, I mean, how long have we watched this team to know that that's not going to happen? and this is going to be a lot more stressful than it needs to be. But, I mean, look, the Oilers in the second half of the season were an actually good team. They have two scoring lines now with the Draisaitl line and the McDavid line.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like the switch of putting Nugent Hopkins with McDavid and Tyler Ennis, who I think is primed for a huge playoff. With Leon Draisaitl. I think the Oilers' defense is good enough against what really is a one-line Chicago team. Like, outside of the Kane line, they don't have a line that can consistently produce offense. They just don't. The Oilers are deeper than Chicago up front. They're more skilled. They have the best players in this series. Goaltending is the only issue for me. If Corey Crawford shows up and plays 921 hockey, mm-hmm. And the Oilers start Mike Smith, well, that might be the great equalizer.
Right. I know Tippett mentioned the fact that he might switch goalies. He might switch halfway through between Koskinen and Smith. Right. So if you start playing a goalie juggling game mid-series, that's a little bit concerning.
That's a death blow. But, I mean, Mikko Koskinen starting the preseason game, as he should. I think he'll start game one. I think Dave Tippett will do the right thing. And I think the Oilers will wrap this up in four. I think they're too deep for a Chicago team that, outside of Corey Crawford and the Patrick Kane line, really just doesn't have much right now. They just don't. And that's the reality of the Oilers win that in four.
I think the Oilers are too good to lose this series, and that's the first time I've said the Oilers are too good for anything in a very long time.
I'm very glad we're recording this.
I know, it's there forever now. The internet will never forget. But at the same time, I think the goaltending becomes the question, right? And so if Dave Tippett does the right thing and keeps Koskinen in net, I think the Oilers will probably win the series, barring some kind of other problem. But I do feel that if he does the goalie shuffle, and you get Mike Smith in for too much, I think that becomes, like Alex said, that is the great equalizer, mm-hmm. and that becomes really problematic. Because as we saw, even in like the scrimmages that I was watching on Twitter, I didn't actually watch any of them, but just watching what people were saying, it's like, oh, look, Smith has let in 5 goals. And it's like, I get it's a scrimmage and whatever, but like, that's not a good sign.
No, exactly.
When you can't even stop the guys on your team when you know what's coming. Right. And so I feel like it's going to go to 5 because I think the goaltending is going to become the question mark, and the Oilers are going to like squeak it out in 5, like just barely.
I mean, that's on brand, so like, I mean, that's probably the most likely outcome.
Right.
Like, if I had to put money on one scenario, that's probably it. But like, my whole thing with Mike Smith is he's either really bad, like November and December, or Like, when they were out here in Boston, I mean, that was one of the best goaltending performances I've ever seen at the Garden, the way he played in that game in January. And, like, he goes so hot and cold where he can almost bring that Dwayne Rolson, like, swagger one night and then just look like Tommy Salo in the Olympics in the next.
Great way of putting it. Oh, my God. Oh,
poor Tommy. Okay, last question before we wrap it up. What is your dream Stanley Cup matchup in this situation with the 24 teams ultimately that we have in the playoffs? I'm going to go first. It is Arizona versus anyone. I don't care who. Arizona wins. That is my dream, just for so many reasons. It doesn't matter who they play.
Dream cup.
Don't care.
Wow, okay. If we're not going to go the chaos one of New York and Arizona, I will say let's do it. Edmonton, Carolina 2 for all the marbles.
Whoa, I never even thought about that.
Oh, I like my chaos cup is just, it's actually Chicago, Montreal. Just give me the 2-12 seeds that everybody knows should be there and then just watch it all melt down. But in terms of like my dream scenario, I mean, this is just so obvious. Like, give me the Oilers and the Bruins. Give me that one chance to either make life absolutely intolerably miserable out here or the greatest thing of all time. Like, it's going to be one or the other. Either they're going to lose to the Bruins, I will never hear the end of it, or they're going to win, I'm going to walk around like Bol Bol, be like 8 feet tall.
You're just going to do like the Deion Sanders high-stepping all across Massachusetts every single day.
Oh, 110%.
Oh, boy. I'm starting to regret this idea. We had some questions come in from my buddy Mike, but I think what we'll do, this is my thought, is maybe after this play-in round, maybe we should do this again, and we'll address Mike's questions then.
We should!
Because they're all just Jamie Benn jokes, and for anyone who like follows me on Twitter, you know that I'm 100%, that is my brand.
You're down for those.
But I feel like... But... Avery... but I feel like we should wait until we're talking about when the Stars are actually playing to deal with those questions.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll hold off on those. But Mike, thank you for sending them in. I have not forgotten. The response to the call for questions came exactly as I was hoping it would. That there would be no serious hockey questions and just Jamie Benn jokes. So perfect. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. Except for Jamie Benn. And now, puck's going to drop here right away between Edmonton and the home team Calgary, apparently. So we're going to cut this short. But we'll come back after this like play-in round and maybe, you know, see if we were right and or wrong. Talk about some of those things, some predictions for the rest of the playoffs. And going forward, maybe we'll keep doing this again. I don't really know. Like I said at the beginning, I'm Megan Fowler, right for the Oilers Rig. You can find me on Twitter at Meg14. You can also listen to my non-sports podcast. It's called the Garbage Fire Podcast, and mostly we just talk about not sports anymore.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Avery at AVRY for sports takes and my proper food takes, which I always correct.
Oh my God! No, they're not. No. I can't let that one go.
No, they're terrible. Avery's going to go for away from this. He's going to go drink some warm water and have some white bread, and he'll be fine. It's all good.
You can find me on Twitter at Alex_Thomas14. Again, we'll find all the Oilers Rig stuff there, and you'll probably find copious amounts of Bruins stuff as well in the next 2 weeks. It'll be a lot coming down. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun next little while.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for doing this. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you after the qualifying round.